How many would say, and I know it's, okay, so I'm looking and you're standing up. Maybe it'd be a little awkward if you didn't. But how many can honestly say, Pastor, I really would like to please God with my life? How many just say that, okay? I think that it's a Sunday night. I think that's pretty much everybody in here. I want to please God with my life. You heard all of the testimonies tonight, and really what they're saying is, you know, when we come down from the mountain, and I even challenged them with the last words, now it's time to do something. We heard, we gained the knowledge, we got the conviction, we made the decision, and as Brother Rick said, now we have to follow those decisions with actions. And I think the Lord put this on my heart. I didn't know what God was going to do. I really, as of Monday, as I was preparing for Tuesday, had not completed Wednesday night's message, but I knew that I was going to be preaching this Sunday night this message. And I don't know why all that happened, but God put this text on my heart. And as I watched the fellowship and I heard some of the things people were saying, and then even tonight, it just confirmed in my heart, you know what? We have a church full of men who just really want to please God. And I honestly think we have a church full of ladies that really want to please God. And I can say this, if we have a church full of men and a church full of women who want to please God, more than likely we're going to have some kids that want to please God when they grow up. Because they're going to watch mom and dad pray together. They're going to watch a dad get up and have devotions and another time a day see him with the Bible open. They're going to watch those things. Now, what I want to do tonight very quickly, very briefly, is give you three quick points of what it means to please God. How is it that we can really please God? All right, and try to tie all this together. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. What a blessing that was. And and the significance of that is when you read Genesis chapter 5, all that you read is this person beget this person, he lived this long, and he died. And he died, and he died, and he died. Well, now God in Hebrews interrupts that and reminds them that way back when everybody else was dying, Enoch didn't die. By the way, when you die physically, you aren't really going to be dead. You understand that? If you're a child of God, you're going to live forever. And that's a blessing. So he said that he should not see death. Notice, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, God in his infinite wisdom is going to open up this passage and the life of Enoch in one verse, and that's going to be in verse 6. Notice what it says. But without faith, it's impossible to do that. So the previous verse says he had this testimony that he pleased God. And then he says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Heavenly Father, thank you for the testimonies tonight. Thank you for being so gracious. Thank you, Father, for the work that you have done in our lives. God, it really is a blessing to see the outward manifestations of that work. Lord, it's always a highlight for me to come down and hear how you have done a work. In fact, Lord, every week when I get an email or a note or someone stops me and says, Pastor, can I just share you what God did, it's always such a highlight for me to hear what you are doing in the lives of your people. I'm so humbled. I'm so thankful. God, tonight, would you help me to be brief and to be succinct with these truths? And Lord, will you just help me to convey a little bit of what you put on my heart a week ago? And Lord, prepare us for this week. I pray that everyone in here would desire to please you. Lord, not so that we can skip out on death and go straight to heaven, but Lord, so that we could just please you. And Lord, knowing that you'll heap benefits and blessings on the heart and lives of those who give themselves over to such a cause. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be emptied so that I could be filled. Lord, I pray that you'd help me not to say anything that would take away from these truths. Lord, help me to be a blessing tonight. Thank you again for these dear people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you really want to please God, there's three things you need to keep in mind, all right? Number one, and you may want to turn over your bulletin and write this down, you need to have a walk with God. You need to have a walk with God. If you turn back to Genesis chapter 5 briefly, I want you to read this for yourselves because I think it's a great passage of Scripture. In the barren land of chapter 5 in Genesis, we find these words in verse 22. The Bible says, or in verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. and Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years. And he begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. When you think about walking with somebody, or when you think about the life of Enoch, you obviously think about that passage, that he walked with God. One Sunday school instructor was determined to repeat over and over, and Enoch was not, for God took him. And they said it over and over, for Enoch was not, and God took him, until even the not so much the brightest student would understand it. And so, on a review Sunday the following week, the teacher asked the class to state exactly what was said of Enoch. And one answer came back, Enoch was not what God took him for. And I don't know that that's really what it means, but that's what they got out of it. And I want you to understand what God wants us to get out of it. What does it really mean to walk with God? If you said to me a minute ago, and you said to the Lord, Lord, I want to please you with my life, then you can't do that with having a walk with God. You just can't. Faith begins, really, with your walk with God. And that's what's so unique about Enoch's life. In a time and in a date when they weren't walking with God. Now look, at the beginning of that chapter, even when Seth was born, the Bible says, and men began to call upon the Lord. But after that, it's a barren wasteland. So you have to understand that people who walk with God have always been in a minority. It's not always been the popular thing to do, and yet Enoch was walking with God. Enoch was actively, progressively, and perseveringly conformed to God. God was pleased with the byproduct of his walk. But it wasn't just a walk. It was, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Friend, you can't really walk with God tomorrow morning until you agree with him. You can't do it. You're going to have to agree with what he sees in your life, and you're going to have to confess that. You're going to have to reconcile it, or you can't walk with him either. Is everybody understand tonight? You can't have a walk with God if you don't agree with God. You can't have a walk with God unless you're going to agree with who he is and all that he can do for you. But it comes down to being conformed. If God wants every one of these men to be conformed into the image of Christ and to be that man of God, can I say, ladies, he wants you to be conformed to be a woman of God and show Christ also? The principles and the character of Christ can be conveyed in either gender, because it doesn't matter. Truth is still truth. Virtue is still virtue. Faith is still faith. Power of God is still the power of God. He's just looking for a vessel. He's really looking for someone to walk with him. Enoch walked with God and was not. That is, that he was progressively being conformed to the image of Christ. He was actively and perseveringly. The Bible says that he walked with God 300 years. Let me ask you a question. How many years have you walked with God? Maybe the better question is, how many days? How many weeks consecutively have you walked with God? I will say this, fellas, if we're determined to please God and we're going to be iron men, it's going to take more than 4 days. It's going to take far more than 4 days of you coming down and saying, oh, this was cool and that was cool and this is how God spoke to my heart. It's going to take every day for the rest of your life before you're really going to be conformed to that image. I'm just simply saying Enoch was progressive and persevering in his walk. He communed with God. The Bible says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Why? So that God can talk with you. It's not just about listening to preaching. It's about listening to the Holy Spirit of God. It's about saying, Lord, whatever you say to me, I want to be that. And not just agreeing with God, but being active with him. Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. And then I thought about this as far as a walk with God. It's interesting. One of the commentators, Matthew Henry, said that he had a complacency in God. Now, we say that and we go, that just doesn't sound right, that a guy would be complacent in God. But then, you know me, I look up words because words have meanings and we're dumb if we don't look them up. I looked it up. Do you know what it means? It literally means to not worry about any danger around you. Enoch was not worried. He was okay walking with God because he was with God. It means completely satisfied. To be complacent doesn't necessarily, at least in the original form of the word, doesn't mean that you're discontent. That's a different word. But he's talking about being unaware of any danger. Listen, you walk with God and you really don't have to worry about much because you're walking with God. But Lord, how am I going to pay this? But Lord, what's going to happen here? But Lord, what are they going to say? But Lord, what are they going to think? God says, hey, I've got it all. You're walking with me. Just be satisfied. The Bible says in this very book, in the book of Hebrews, that you shouldn't be covetous of anything, for I have said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know the great part about it? We heard all these stories about guys and helping out and people going and helping Darren and all this kind of stuff. And they would make this statement, hey, I got your back if you need anything. And I thought, you know, God's always got my back. All I've got to do is walk with him. I want to please God. I've got to be able to walk with God. Secondly, I think this verse also points to the fact that we've got to trust in God. He had this testimony that he pleased God. The follow verse is, but without faith, that is impossible. Let me ask you a question, friend. How is your faith? Oh, right now, today, it's great, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that we all made it out safely, and I'm thankful even Trenton didn't have too bad of a hurt, and that Brother Mason is okay. But the fact of the matter is, our faith has got to go beyond Sunday. It's got to be on Monday, on the bad Mondays. It's got to be on the Fridays when traffic's bad. It's got to be when the phone calls come, and you don't know really what to do. The fact of the matter is, I've got to trust the Lord all the time. Not just when I'm under the preaching. Hey, look, it's easy in a sterile environment. It's easy when you're at church to say, Lord, I trust you. But when things don't go your way tomorrow and the next several weeks, are you still going to trust him? Well, interestingly enough, if you walk with him, you will. If you commune with him and be still, you will. Someone said those who by faith walk with God in a sinful world are pleasing to him, and he will give them marks of his favor and put honor upon them. Well, what does it mean to trust in the Lord? Well, it means to believe everything about God as is revealed in Scripture. The Bible says in verse 6, notice, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must, you need to underline that word, must believe. Believe what? That he is. That he is what? Everything he said about himself. Him revealed in Scripture. Someone that you can trust. Someone that you ought to trust. God said, don't look for anything back from me unless you're going to trust me. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding, but in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Believe everything about God as revealed in Scripture. Let me ask you a question. What part of God's omnipotence don't you believe in? There must be some circumstance greater than the power of God if you don't believe in him. There must be some place hid away from God if you really don't believe that he's omnipresent and omniscient. In reality, when we think we can get away with things, when we think that it's beyond God's power and God's control, we're not believing who he is. It's not just about believing everything about God. It's about diligently seeking his approval. Notice what it says. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that, what's the next word? Diligently seek him. Diligently. It could just say he's a rewarder of them that seek him. The Holy Spirit is far smarter than we are. He said, I'm going to put a word in there called diligence. Says it again over in 2 Peter chapter 1. Diligently add to your faith. You know, that's one thing that I appreciate about Brother Stone Street's message and Brother Owen's messages that just so coincided, I think, with what the Lord had put on my heart, was the fact that sometimes we're just not very diligent with things. Oh, we're diligent when we're hungry. We're diligent when we go to Cabela's. We're diligent when we're hungry. We're diligent when there's things that we enjoy. But what about the things that we don't enjoy, the things that we just absolutely need to do? We need to diligently seek his approval. This morning I was preparing to come, and Braden came in, and he pointed up at one of the hats I had on my counter, and he said, Daddy, did you get this hat on the camp out? And I'm praying about taking Braden next year. You pray for him. Pray for me also, and he may get to go. I said to him, no, I have that hat. Oh. And I said, are you going to go camping with me next year? Shook his head like this. And I said, well, now listen, you have to learn to obey. You have to learn to do what Daddy and Mommy says. You have to learn to obey. And you have to obey right away. And if you obey all year long, things work out right. Daddy doesn't have any issues. I said, then you'll be able to go with me. Do you know what my little boy said? This blew me out of the water. He walked over, he grabbed my legs, and he squeezed them. He put his head on my lap, and he said, Daddy, thank you for learning me how to obey. Is that not precious? Do you know what God's trying to get you to do? He's trying to get you to obey. He's trying to teach you every day that you walk with him, look, I'm worth it. I just want you to seek me. I want you to seek me diligently. I want you to trust me. I want you to obey. Seek his approval diligently. Seek his company. Procure his opinion. People say to me, Pastor, I've prayed about this. And I always wonder what that means to them. Because sometimes I think praying means so much more to God. It's not just about saying, okay, Lord, I prayed about it. Now this is what I'm going to do. It's about, Lord, do you approve? I'm going to not do anything until I gain your approval of what I'm doing. And you know what I've found in my life? When God approves, it's so much better. When you diligently seek God, when you go after it, when you ask, when you seek, when you knock, God delights in giving you what you're seeking, asking, and knocking for. As long as it's in the context of his will, he has no problem with it. I appreciate all that Randy said about carrying his son. And I thought of this, you know, he said he picked him up and he was carrying him. And then he said, I love you. And, you know, all the guys talking about carrying all the stuff around and having to haul it all. It's hilarious. You know, so you have a little baby and you go somewhere. You got to take diapers. You got to take car seat. You got to take, remember all those days? You got to take so much stuff. And these guys were taking all those all that stuff up there, and they were lunking it all around. And I was like, no, I wasn't doing that. But they were doing it, and I thought about this. When Randy picked up Aaron, and he was carrying him because he couldn't go any farther, and he said, man, I was getting tired. And I think the elevation is probably 6,500 feet. I made the mistake of trying to jog just from where we were having the campfire over to where I was staying, and I thought, I'm not doing that again. That was stupid. I couldn't even breathe. I walked down to the lake and walked back. I almost asked my son to carry me. It was so bad. Water was well down. It was way down there. And I thought about this. I thought about, you know, God always carries all of our stuff. And he always carries us. You know, the difference is he never gets tired. He never is weary. Read Isaiah 41, it'll tell you that. He never gets tired, Brother Banach, of carrying us when we get tired of being diligent. He never gets tired of carrying our stuff, whether it's sin or whether it's a weight. He'll say, come on, I want to help you, but you got to seek me. I think if we're going to please God in the next several weeks over the summer, we've got to walk with him. We've got to trust him. Thirdly, we've got to stand for him. I want you to do me a favor, if you will. Will you turn over to the book of Jude? It's to the right from where you are, just before the book of Revelation. It's the smallest portion of Scripture, especially in the New Testament. There's not even any chapters. It's just a verse or verses. And I want you to read with me, if you will, at verse 14. I find it extremely divine and an evidence of the holy inspiration of Scripture. That Enoch lived way back in Genesis, and yet toward the end of the New Testament, there's another testimony about Enoch. And it comes through the book of Jude. And the Bible says about Enoch, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, speaking about a certain individual that he's talking about, saying, now this is Enoch again. This is Enoch. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Look up here. Can you imagine saying that? Seventh from Adam? That blows my mind. He said, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints, verse 15, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. That blows me away. Do you know what how Enoch was standing for God? He was standing with his words. The things that he said were different. And what he was saying, he marked himself and those that were not willing to trust and walk with God in a time when really nobody else was. He stood for God with his words, and he stood for God with his walk. There's no doubt in my mind that the people that lived around Enoch knew that Enoch walked with God. Rob, if he's anything like you and I, Enoch's wife could tell that Enoch walked with God. Did you know my wife can tell when I'm not walking with God? You can tell when somebody's not walking with God, can't you? Everybody around Enoch could tell. Look, if you could tell nasty old filthy mouth fishermen and you could mark them and say, these are ignorant and unlearned men, but they've been with Jesus. You could tell when someone's walking with God. If people were called Christians first at Antioch because of their lifestyle, people were looking at Enoch and going, you know, he's different. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what he said. He was slamming us for being ungodly. Look at him. He just thinks he's perfect. What was Enoch doing? Nothing but walking with God, apparently. And it was so wonderful, the Bible says God took him. Reader's Digest some years ago reprinted an advertisement which was originally published deadpan in the magazine called Minds Magazine. The ad read as follows, and I quote, wanted, man to work on nuclear fissionable isotope molecular reactive counters and three-phase cyclotronic uranium photosynthesizers. The following three words said, no experience necessary. Now, there's as much truth as humor in that. What I mean is, how do you find experienced men in a field that never existed before? It's impossible. You create the field, and you find someone that thinks that they've got something they can work on it. I'm thankful, fortunately, that there have been men and women long before me that showed me how I could please God. They gave me a path to follow. Oh, I may not be very good at a lot of things, but I can at least be diligent at trying to seek the Lord. At least I could be diligent in saying, Lord, I trust you. With every aspect of my being, I want you to know that I trust you. And God, by faith, I'm going to stand for you. I don't care what anybody else does. I'm going to let my life and my walk with you be apparent. Now, I want to challenge you tonight. Would you do in the present what's already been done in the past by some? Is just please the Lord. I don't know what that means for you. I know what it means for some of the men that spoke tonight. For what it means for them is they better put it in shoe leather now. They made decisions on the mountain that meant something to them there, and I'm under the impression that it means something here. Guys, can I just say this? We're not here tonight to give testimony so that we can get an Oscar award for the greatest performance of our testimony. We're not trying to please each other. We're supposed to be trying to please Him. And so that's my challenge for you. Would you consider pleasing God today? And then tomorrow when you wake up, would you consider doing it again? Walk with Him. Doesn't matter who else is. You can do it. You can trust Him. You can have faith, because without faith it's impossible. And you can stand for Him with your own life and the words that you say. Heavenly Father, thank you for these wonderful testimonies tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll please work. Lord, I tried to be brief and I tried to be simple, and Lord, it wasn't very profound, but I believe it was necessary. Lord, I believe that the people that raised their hand tonight, they want to please you.